Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to show their skill with words and language as they speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Fern Britton and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. Find me. Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score, run the stopwatch for me, and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Here's an interesting subject, Paul. A dog's dinner. A dog's dinner's a subject, Paul. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Well, I think it's a phrase that means a bit of everything, because dogs aren't particularly fussy eaters, so there could be in a dog's dinner liver, chicken, raspberries, chocolate, goose, turkey, apricots, oranges, apples, bananas, all kinds of things like that would make up a dog's dinner.
Giles, you've challenged.
Repetition of things.
Oh, yes.
Yes, all kinds of things, he said at the beginning. There's no need to look smug about it. It was quite... I thought it was very shrewd of you to listen so well.
Yeah, I wasn't listening myself, so... I couldn't neither confirm or deny.
Fortunately, I was, and I know that it was a repetition. Mm. So, Giles, a correct challenge. You have a point for that, of course. You take over the subject, and there are 44 seconds still available. A dog's dinner, starting now.
As regular listeners will know, I am proud to be the owner of a delightful French poodle known by the name Fido, spelt P-H-Y-D-A-U-X. And the dog's dinner that this particular pooch prefers is vegan and continental. It adores les pommes frites avec les saucissons, beautifully cut up and served, the kind of dog's dinner that you'd have if you were going to the Folies Bergère.
Jenny, you've challenged.
Did you say your dog was vegan? And then, listen, I didn't do French at school, but saucisson, is that not a sausage? Is that not a meaty treat? A meaty treat for your vegan dog.
And how do you know your dog's vegan? It's just he's eating what you're giving him.
I think you should take that dog off that man.
Yeah, exactly. Call the RSPCA.
Jenny may not know this, but at Waitrose, I hesitate to mention the name, but I must, we now have a vegan saucisson.
You feed your dog from Waitrose. No wonder there's turmoil in the country.
But rest assured, we also have another dog who's a bit of a mongrel called Down Boy, and we feed him exclusively from Lidl.
Giles, you didn't establish that when you were speaking before, so I thought Jenny's interruption and challenge was very justified and very fair. And so, Jenny, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have the subject, and there are still 19 seconds available. A dog's dinner starting now.
Going out looking like a dog's dinner is what happens when one loses control of the wardrobe and wear something outrageous. I used to work for Loose Women and get invited to all sorts of fancy do's. Once at the NTA's... felled at the O2 Centre.
Hesitation, sadly.
I'm afraid there was a bit of a hesitation there before you got to it.
You seem to be surprised by your own hesitation.
Do you know, I was
you
more...
Into shock.
I was more surprised that I ever got invited.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Paul, you've cleverly got in with 2 seconds to...
Oh! Oh!
It's a shame, isn't it?
So, Paul, 2 seconds. A dog's dinner. Back with you, starting now.
Every time I think of a dog's...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Paul Merton. He's naturally in the lead at the end of the round. Jenny, we'd like you to begin the next round going to the cinema. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I love going to the cinema. The most important thing is to book a big seat with holes in either arm for popcorn. popcorn and Diet Coke then. I like to make myself very comfortable, take shoes off, undo bra. Ideally, they should give you a cinema onesie as soon as you step into the foyer, which you can zip yourself into and cover with snacks. I went to the cinema just the other day to see The Favourite, ever so good, much funnier than you'd ever expect. But every time I go to the cinema, it reminds me of all the other trips, like when I was five and I saw a St. Trinian movie for the very first time. Then, watching Dr. Zhivago, a boy kissed me, got home, my mum grilled me on the plot of the film. All I could remember was Julie Christie wore a fur hat, nothing else. I can't wait to go to the...
Oh.
No.
No.
I thought I'd done it. I thought that was the minute.
Yes, in 59 seconds you've done. Jenny, as you win for 59 seconds, I will give you that bonus point anyway.
Yeah. Good.
But I do have to take Paul's challenge.
Well, I wouldn't have challenged if I'd known it was 59 seconds, but she did say that Julie Christie in the film was only wearing a fur hat. It's a big costume picture, there's no scene where Julie Christie's only wearing a fur hat. But as I say,
it was all she could remember.
Yeah. And I was very short-sighted. I was with this boy. It's the first time boy had ever wanted to kiss me. So obviously I took my glasses off because I was very, very vain. And I couldn't see anything. So I thought, well, I might as well snog all the way through.
Jenny, I think we've heard enough about you.
Yes, I do. I've disappointed my mother yet again.
Paul, we knew what she meant by only wearing
Absolutely.
Her hat.
Absolutely.
So I think we give her the benefit of the doubt,
yeah.
as it was so close.
Thank you.
And say that she was speaking when the whistle went, so she's now in the lead, Jenny Clare. And,
I peaked.
And we're now with Fern Britton to begin. The subject, a pizza. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
1966 was the time I first tried a pizza. I was in Rimini on a package door holiday with my mother and my stepfather, and they decided to take a walk out to a gorgeous Italian market, open air, selling many leather goods. There were... Who did that?
It's because I'm so close to you, I saw the hesitation.
You saw me take a deep breath. That's all.
Right, Giles, I agree with you. It was a hesitation. So you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of a pizza. The 43 seconds available starting now.
I went to the cinema the other day and found seated next to me a lady wearing a onesie with, apparently, rather a loose bosom. And she was...
Paul, you challenged?
Well, we haven't got to pizza yet.
Yeah. That's what she's eating. That's what I'm smelling. That's what I'm seeing going into her mouth.
But you didn't get to it in quick enough time, did you, really?
No, I got carried away, I agree.
You got carried away with a loose bosom.
Yeah.
And Paul gets another point, keeps the subject. 32 seconds available. A pizza starting now.
I ordered a pizza the other day, which was a bit of a dog's dinner, though. You couldn't even believe the ingredients on it. Anchovy, bananas, grapefruit, kidney, liver, chocolate. Oh, the whole thing was absolutely horrible. So I said to the chef behind the counter, I said, excuse me, I said, this is the worst...
Double I said.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. Yes, yeah.
So, Jenny,
have I got just
listen?
2 seconds left?
18 seconds available. And it's with you, Jenny, having got another point. A pizza, starting now.
Sadly, I cannot eat a pizza because they are usually smothered in tomato paste, a substance I am very allergic to. However, a lot of modern eateries are now putting white pizzas on their menus, which are poisonous pulp-free. Great thing about a pizza.
Jenny Clare... And speaking as a whistle went, getting an extra point for doing so, and has increased her lead at the end of the round. And Giles Brandreth, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now, oh, an erudite one here, the Ganges.
Oh.
A moment or two to think about it, the Ganges, starting now.
I am in India as you speak, Nicholas. I've given up the thoughts of pizzas. I'm now along the longest river, I believe, in the Indian subcontinent, the Ganges, also known as Ganga, because that is the name of the Hindu goddess who has given her nomenclature to this extraordinary rolling tide of water that is the most polluted in the world, sadly. I have been on a cruise along the Ganges in search of people who might be able to say that they had eaten their grandmas. I mention this because I have a book on this subject, and I want to share the origin of the title with you. It was on the Ganges. I encountered a member of the Kadaba tribe of the northern part of that continent. And there these people...
Jenny, you challenge.
Two continents.
No, one was the subcontinent.
Oh,
the
subcontinent. I withdraw.
Thank you.
No, he's great. He's played the game a few times before, Jenny, yes. An incorrect challenge. Giles, you have another point. You have 8 seconds if you need it. Still on the Ganges, starting now.
This particular group of people, they consume their forebears by throwing them into the river Ganges.
As the little one, the only extra point for being so, and has shot forward. He's in second place, just behind Jenny, who's ahead of Paul Merton and Fern Britton in that order. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. My least favourite chore. Can you tell us something about my least favourite chore in this game starting now?
My least favourite chore is one that I don't really have to do, but if I was living on my own, no doubt it would be part of my daily experience. Ironing. I'm not very good at using an iron. Because it does take a certain amount of skill, there's no doubt about it, to get the pleats and the creases and all the sort of stuff that goes into shirts in the right place, and it's something I've never really understood. I suppose if I was existing on my own self, then I would...
Cleverly. From the jaws of defeat.
I wasn't aware I was in the jaws of defeat. So have you got a challenge?
Not anymore.
Are you just having a moment?
So, Jenny, what is your challenge?
I don't have one anymore. He changed one to oneself very cleverly.
Very cleverly. Yeah. Yes, he's clever at the game. He's played it a few times before.
He's experienced.
So all that happens is it is an incorrect challenge.
Yeah, he gets another point.
Paul gets another point, keeps the subject. 37 seconds still available, Paul. My least favourite chore starting now.
Mucking out the horses. I can't stand doing it. The stable's always full by 8:30 in the morning when I get there. I don't know what they're feeding these animals, but I think they ought to stop, because the absolute waste product is up to my eyes when I go in. Admittedly, I'm on my hands and knees, so that would explain why the height difference is so important. These equine creatures are extraordinarily good at converting food into waste product. And I said to...
Yes, Giles,
is that
Giles.
Waste product twice?
Yes, darling, but Giles challenged first.
Did you?
Oh. I'm very happy.
Can I just ask...
We're sitting so close to one another that I think we thought it at the same moment.
I think we did.
And I pressed the buzzer for you.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So, Giles, very generous of you. And Fern, lovely to hear from you again.
Can I just establish something?
Yes.
Are we trying to play to win? Is that what this is?
To entertain.
Oh, that's okay. Then.
And win.
Oh, damn.
Fern, you ready?
Yes.
12 seconds available if you need it.
Okay.
My least favourite chore starting now.
My least favourite chore is picking up cat sick. Very often I wake up in the morning, pad downstairs with bare feet, and tread in something probably spleen-like.
So that disgusting image kept Fern going till the whistle went, gained an extra point. She has leapt forward. She's still in fourth place, but she's... Now, I said that to get a laugh. You're only 2 points behind Giles Brandreth and Paul Merton in that order. Jenny's 1 point ahead. And, Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the devil's advocate. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The devil's advocate is what you play when you want to create a row for absolutely no reason. A mate could say, I loved Mamma Mia 2. You go, it's a useless load of commercial tripe. Even though when you watched it at the cinema, you laughed and wept throughout. Devil's avocado, on the other hand, is what I keep getting... given in. That was a choke, because I had some devil's avocado this morning and they put chilli flakes in it.
Paul, you challenged.
Devil's avocado.
Do you need medical attention?
Paul, you challenged. It was a correct challenge. The subject is the devil's advocate. And there are still 34 seconds if you need it, starting now.
The devil's advocate is somebody who decides they're going to pick an argument with you for no reason other than they wish to oppose your view. This happened to me the other day when I was walking into my tailor's and he said to me, I don't think that double-breasted...
Giles Challenge.
If Paul Merton has a tailor... Look at him. I mean... Unless he said, I want to look like a dog's dinner, can you make it happen?
Oh, I can take points away.
No.
Do you have a tailor?
Well... I don't have a tailor.
No, you don't have... Well, he's admitted he doesn't have a tailor.
So it is deviation.
Deviation.
Yeah, deviation. So, Giles, you have a correct challenge. You have the devil's advocate.
So I'm being punished for not having a tailor.
In just a minute, you're not being punished, just being penalised, that's
okay.
All.
That's a difference I can appreciate.
Mm-hmm. 24 seconds available if you want it. The devil's advocate, Giles, starting now.
Advocatus diaboli is what the term is correctly termed as in Latin, because it dates from about 1587, when Pope Sixtus the IV, contradiction in terms with the...
No, it's Pope Fortus the VI. How are you on old popes? Are you all right with old popes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you were there when the first one was crowned.
He's absolutely wicked, isn't he? And you laugh.
The laugh of recognition.
I think you were bluffing them.
No, I wasn't. Well, absolutely. I know about this. I made a nice film for the One Show about it recently, the origin of the word devil's advocate. I
no, but that Pope business...
Oh, no, it's unusual, isn't it? Because he was called Pope Sixtus, but he was the fourth Pope Sixtus.
Does anybody in the audience know what that's for?
Forgive me. Alexa, am I right about this?
For that last humorous remark, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And so you keep the subject, and there are 13 seconds still available. The devil's advocate, Giles, starting now.
The idea is that if you are to canonise somebody and make them a saint, you will present a devil's advocate to put the other side of the argument. So when we consider Mary Berry, we have to regard the fact that she's encouraged us to eat all this sugar...
So Giles Brandreth was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point, and he's taken the lead, just two ahead of Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair. Fern is bringing up the rear magnificently. And it's your turn to begin, Fern.
Yes.
The subject, a lovely one, the Eiffel Tower.
Ah.
Tell us something about the Eiffel Tower in this game, starting now.
The Eiffel Tower was built around 1857 by a man called Gustave Eiffel, and it was one of the tallest buildings in the world. What's going on? What?
I'm so sorry. I mean, I want you to do well, but... But this is Radio 4. The licence fee is under threat. And to have so many errors on the radio within such a short space of time...
But with confidence.
I mean, no, 1857 is nowhere near 1897. Gustave Eiffel was the name of the engineer, not the name of the builder or indeed the architect. It was the tallest building in the world, not one of the tallest. All in three sentences. I'm so sorry, but it was deviation.
Nicholas, may Giles have a round called splitting hairs?
I think nature's already got there before you.
And also, all three of you have been telling lies throughout all your stories, so let me tell some of mine with confidence. Well, strong and
wise. Giles, what you actually said was correct. So, and to be fair, within the rules of just a minute, I should give you a bonus point for that, but I leave the subject with Fern, but do watch it for accuracy. There are still 50 seconds available on the Eiffel Tower, starting now.
In 1930, it was no longer the tallest building in the world. I've repeated that now. He's shaking his hand at me. I'm going, because I've just... I mean, how can you get on with this game? You're waving, going...
I wasn't buzzing. I was implauding.
Yeah.
Do
Giles was making faces, but Paul actually challenged Paul.
No, and that's fair enough, because well, I repeated
you did
that.
Say that you had repeated the tallest building in the world.
Yes.
Yes. No, and I had. And I.
It was a self-confessed error, and I was in agony for you.
So, Paul, your challenge was?
So much fun.
Well, a repetition.
A repetition, right.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So it was a truthful repetition.
Are you going to point for... I don't know where the hell we are. I really don't. And that man claps. Thank you very much. Give him a bonus point. Oh, they will all have bonus points. So, Paul, you get the point there. 44 seconds still available. The Eiffel Tower starting now.
I took my tailor on holiday to Paris. The two of us looked up at the Eiffel Tower and he said to me in a very broad Geordie accent, "Well, that's what I call a tower, no mistake." That me and him were bound to become lovers. As we walked along the Seine, him on one bank, my on the other, our hands stretching across the river, I thought to myself, here is somebody I can spend the rest of my life with. As he measured my cuffs...
Burn challenge.
I would say you're deviating now. You're talking about romance and not the tower.
Oh. Yes. The tower cast a shadow, but I didn't make it strong enough.
I think that's a very true challenge, Fern.
Thank you.
Should we get you a point for that?
It's changed.
And you take the subject back?
Although I feel that the concept of me having a tailor has now been accepted.
Yes. There's no question about that. No.
19 seconds, Fern. The Eiffel Tower starting now.
The weight of paint on the tower I fell is the weight... Oh, bugger!
Your challenge was...
Repetition of weight.
Yeah, that's right, weight.
Do you know, I've done Question Time a couple of times. It's not as vicious as this. This is... Honestly, I can't believe it.
As long as you enjoy it and relax, we'll all have fun. So, Jenny, a correct challenge. A point to you. The Eiffel Tower, 13 seconds still available, starting now.
My favourite Eiffel Tower story involves a fellow by the name of Count Victor Lustig, a con artist from America who sold the Eiffel Tower, having told a load of blokes that...
So, Jenny Clare, was speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. She's in second place, 1 point behind Giles, 1 point ahead of Paul, and two or three ahead of Fern Britton. And Giles, we're both of you to begin. The subject now, Julie Andrews. Tell us something about that, an incredible performer, starting now.
Supercalifragilistic, expialidocious, I am in seventh heaven with this subject. Julie Andrews rivals the Duchess of Cornwall as somebody for whom I really do have the hots. This glorious artiste all my life. Even as I was being born, she as a 13-year-old was appearing in the Royal Variety Performance. On she went to star on the radio with Archie Andrews in the wireless programme where she was a little girl and delightful. Then she went to Broadway to appear in Sandy Wilson's glorious musical, The Boyfriend. During this time, she auditioned for My Fair Lady, an adaptation of Pygmalion, the drama by George Bernard Shaw, turned into a show by Fritz Lowe and Alan J. Lerner. Success was supreme. Rex Harrison even liked her, and she could have danced all night and has done so ever since in my...
That doesn't often happen. We've got very close to it in this show. Giles Brandreth went for a full 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation and without being challenged. And he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went and a bonus point for not being challenged. And he's increased his lead at the end of the round. And we are actually moving into the final round. Let me give you the situation as we do so. Fern Britton, who hasn't played the game as often as others. No, she is in a very strong fourth place.
Thank you.
Which is only 1 point behind Paul Merton. Oh, yes. And he's only 1 point behind Jenny Eclair. And she's 2 or 3 points behind Giles Brandreth, who's in the lead as we move into the final round. And Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, oh, a lovely one, chocolates. Tell us something about chocolates in this game, starting now.
Well, Christmas was a little time ago now, but chocolates are a favourite present that people give to each other. I was particularly pleased with a selection box that was awarded to me by my wife. Let me take you through the ingredients and, indeed, the contents. Liver, bacon, sausage, chicken, turkey, a dog's dinner chocolate box, indeed it was. And I remember saying to her, there's something about the delicious darkness and sweetness of...
Jazz challenge.
I decided to avoid the deviation of those absurd flavours. But I noticed a repetition of the word box. He had a box of chocolates given earlier, and then he went through the box.
Giles, you get a point because you were challenged correctly, and you have 35 seconds on chocolates starting now.
In my supreme fantasy, Julie Andrews puts down the pizza, puts on her onesie.
Puts and puts. Yeah. Puts.
Yeah.
Puts.
A repetition of puts, Jenny.
Yes.
Another point to you, of course. Thank you. And you've got him with 28 seconds to go. Chocolates starting now.
Weirdly, I don't even like chocolates. I'm one of those freaky middle-aged women who can't be cheered up with a box of chocolates in the 70s. Do you remember they were delivered by a man in black who'd creep through your bedroom window? Like, that wasn't weird and freaky and very scary indeed. Other ways chocolates are delivered are via hand, the old man made.
Oh, Giles challenge.
Delivered.
Oh, yes.
Delivered
first by the man and then delivered.
I'm so sorry.
Well listened, Giles. Well listened indeed. And you've got him with 5 seconds to go. He's not popular with this audience. Because you're very already in a strong lead. But
perhaps you can tell us about his hairdresser. Who charges a search fee.
You take it in good heart, Giles. You've got in with 5 seconds to go on chocolates starting now.
The chocolate bar of my childhood was the Aero. That and the Rolo.
So, Giles Brandreth brings the show to a close with a flourish, and I will give you the final score. Fern Britton, who hasn't played so often, finished in a very fine fourth place, but she was only 2 points behind Paul Merton, and he was only 1 point behind Jenny Eclair. And she was a number of points behind the man who has excelled this week. So, Giles Brandreth, you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Fern Britton and Giles Brandreth. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. Great. She's blown her whistle with great style when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we're indebted to the producer of the show, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're really indebted to this lovely audience here. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, thank you. And tune in when we play Just a Minute.